This following episode contains spoilers for the film or films being discussed. You have been warned. We all remember the big moments in the movies we see. The big set pieces, the famous dialogue, the twists, the naked times. But film is an entity made up of hundreds of little moments that either make them special or relegate them to obscurity. We are here to talk about those moments. Welcome to Movie Microscope.
Kick it, Movie Microscope.
Your boys are taking a much-needed week off, but since they are concerned for your well-being, here is the 2005 Ted Levine interview conducted by Nick, Justin, and Steve, with Nick switching voices electronically on the fly to perform the legendary actor's dialogue. This was all ad-lib and could have gone a lot of ways. As a result, it was the biggest moment on the old show. Hope you enjoy.
Ted Levine, how you doing? This is Nick.
How you doing?
Ted Levine, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Teddy.
He's on. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Levine.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
man.
Ted, try not to talk on us. We're professionals.
Yeah, that's not right, man.
So,
you can't be talking to Ted like that.
No, I was telling Nick.
It's okay. I'm not as scary as I seem on TV.
I was telling Steve or Nick that it was not right to already like challenge our guest, like
right.
to give him a little etiquette. That's not right.
It's okay. When you see me in the hills have eyes, you'll be challenged.
I mean, some of us here have respect for you and all the work you've done in the past. So we don't want to come across as a bunch of arrogant jerks.
Actually, Ted, while you're on the phone, could we ask you to maybe give us a spoiler?
For Hills Have Eyes.
For Hills Have Eyes. Is that okay?
Yeah, it depends on what it is.
What I'm asking is, at the end of the film, do the hills end up having eyes? That's not an answer,
I'm going to try to piece this together. Maybe he can spoil this for me. In the trailer, it looks like he gets killed within the first half hour of the film. Is it the first half hour or the first 45 minutes, Ted?
I don't want to give it away, but I will say that I'm not the star of the film.
I'm
neither the hills or the eyes.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Thanks. Did you guys ever get a chance to have Michael Berryman on set? Because I know that the guy that's playing his character, whose name eludes me, I think it's... Oh, no, it's Pluto. Whoever.
Okay. Is that Michael Berryman's character?
Yeah, Michael Berryman's character. Does he have a cameo?
No, because have you seen Michael Berryman?
He was in Devil's Rejects. Devil's Rejects, yeah.
He looked mighty good in that.
Well, I mean, he looks like an older Michael Berryman, but I mean, he never was that pleasant looking to begin with. Let's be honest.
I think he's great. What are you talking about?
What has age added to that?
I think his career has gone down ever since he broke up with Echo.
That musical act back in the...
Was he in a musical act?
Yeah.
It's a little obscure for me.
Echo and the Berryman?
Oh, shit.
So you liked that one, huh?
So, that was probably not. I probably went over Ted's head.
No, he seemed to like it. And he got it. Didn't he get that 10?
So, like, Steve, do you have any questions? I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain. There's a couple I know I have, but they might take some time. So maybe
I have a question for Mr. Levine. Mr. Levine, I would like to know, what was it like to not work with the nipples of Lily Sobieski in Joyride? Because you were never on screen with them, and later on the DVD, you see them all over the place. What did it feel to be separated from them?
Well, funny story about Joyride. I wasn't originally signed to do that.
Right, I understand.
That's right.
Eric Roberts, yeah. I believe, was one of several who originally recorded the dialogue. I, at the time, was campaigning for the mayor position in Omaha, Nebraska. I lost
Really?
I was defeated.
A couple of hanging chads?
That was that a Silence of the Lambs joke?
Well, he's pretty sensitive to that.
It was a Chad McQueen joke, really.
No, I didn't win.
Oh, it's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. Because I certainly would have voted for you.
I came in fourth.
Oh. Oh, well. Did you go by your real name, or did you have like a pseudonym?
I was known as acting sensation Mayor Ted Levine.
What, you called yourself?
I came in fourth. Well, the guy who came in third was a vending machine.
Wait. Mr. Levine. Your name on the ballot... was mayor? Isn't that a little presumptuous to go ahead to go ahead and call yourself mayor on the ballot? Don't you think that might have turned some voters away?
Maybe. But I figured if I had an acting sensation...
Why didn't you use your name from Wild Wild West, like Bloodbath? Bloodbath McGrath.
Big fan of the Wild West.
No, I'm a big fan of that name. But I think by calling yourself mayor on the ballots was a little off.
Well, I'll hire you to be my political campaign manager next time, cocksucker.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Steve, come on, Jesus.
I mean, come on, Mr. Levine.
I came on a joyride because Eric Roberts tested poorly, and they liked my voice from a myriad of very important films such as Heat's Michael Mann, Oscar winner.
Mr. Levine just yelled at me.
Oh. And then we did a couple of tracks. I think I did a good job. It's a good paycheck. Well,
Mr. Levine, after being shot down like that, I don't really have much else to ask you, I'm afraid. But you used to be one of my favorites.
I think he's still great. But Steve, you have to admit, I mean, he came in fourth.
Well, what's the draw of Oklahoma, Ted? Why run in Oklahoma?
It's vending machines.
It was Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, I'm sorry. One of the O states.
Nebraska is an N state.
Wait, are you guys trying to tell me that Omaha's not a state?
That might be why he lost.
My agent tells me to steer clear of the internet. Now I know why.
No, Ted, come on, give us a chance, man.
Okay? A little slip up.
Yeah. So, Justin, what questions do you have for the man about his legendary resume?
Why not run in Oklahoma? All right. What was it like working with Michael Mann on Heat?
Funny story about Michael Mann. Very meticulous behind the lens. He insists that we not only do heavy research on our characters, we do hairy research.
I saw a couple of that guys. I saw some of his films, Mr. Research. He's a good guy. We need to get on here and see what Harry Research has got coming out. Because I like him.
Well, you should. Yeah, Michael Mann's very, very much into assuming the roles. I feel like I could actually be a policeman. After doing Heat, I actually got shot in the neck.
Is that before or after you lost your election?
This was before. I used some of my success from Heat to springboard me into my political career.
Is the proper word maybe not springboard?
I had a lot of momentum coming off of the Fast and the Furious.
Maybe momentum also not quite the choice you're looking for.
Mr. Levine, are you sporting any hair these days? Or are you going with the bald look?
Oh, I've got some terrific hair.
Oh, okay. So I guess you would not have run under the Whig Party.
See? You know, it's funny. In political circles, a lot of Whig jokes get cracked. But in the political circles, people beat me.
Well, especially if they're machines.
What was it like working with Travolta in Mad City? I mean, Mad City's a movie that not a whole lot of people saw, but that was kind of after Travolta hit it big with Pulp Fiction. Was he, did he have any ego on the set? I mean, was he a nice guy?
John Travolta and I didn't spend a lot of time together in Mad City, but what I saw of him was fantastic. He was very kind. He was very accommodating, gave neck massages and shoulder massages, and he gave face massages. But I didn't really get to spend much time with him because at that point, I wasn't really a household name yet.
He was giving massages to the more important names in the film, per se. Not the more important names, but maybe the people who are a little more famous. Like Dustin Hoffman, I believe, was in that film.
Actually, nobody really had much of an ego on Mad
City. Was it Dustin Hoffman, Ted?
Yeah, of course.
Did he get massaged by Travolta?
I'm sure. Travolta left no face unmolested.
I have a question about your character's name in Mad City. I see here that it was Chief Alvin Lemke. Now, when you were doing research for this, did you by any chance look up ex-Atlanta Braves second baseman Mark Lemke? Because, as we all know, everybody with the same last name is pretty much the same person.
Actually, no. My original last name was... the whole character's name was a fabrication of my imagination. Originally, he was called Steve Goddard. And I thought that sounded too much like a Lee Marvin or Chuck Norris or Lee Norris type. But Mad City's not one I really care about talking about.
How come? You just don't like the film? Or?
It was before I was much of a name. Like I said, it was before I'd reached international stardom. And, you know, I didn't really have the group of crazy fans following me around at that point.
Yeah, when you give a name for those crazy fans, some people have, like, names for their fans, you know.
Fans works for me. Don't need to spice it up for Ted Levine.
All right, see? So, all right.
Well, what's your favorite film that you've worked on, Ted?
Well, I've gotten the most notoriety from, probably from The Fast and the Furious.
No.
Excuse me?
The film right before that.
Not right before that. I think you got most of your notoriety from a Jodie Foster film.
Oh, The Silence of the Lambs? Well, yeah, but everybody thought I was a crazy psychopath after that.
Yeah, but come on, that kind of made... Did that not make you, that film? I mean, that film is... I mean, you gave a great performance in that film. I don't think you can deny that. Sounds like you're trying to maybe kind of bury that film a little bit.
No, I liked it.
What's the problem?
It was good work. You know, I had to really dig deep into myself for that character because Jonathan Demme sent us to serial killer school. And, you know, following a serial killer around and riding with them and...
No, wait. I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but you said earlier that you felt like a cop. If you're riding around with a serial killer, why didn't you feel the need to do a citizen's arrest on him?
I was in heat after.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see that.
Actually, it took me some time to go around town without my penis between my legs.
Well, look, when you were walking around with these serial killers, did you ever cut anybody up?
Well, this is all for my work, so, you know, you're forced to sometimes go above and beyond.
So if I look back at some headlines in the papers, I can see where somebody was gutted apart. I can probably pretty much say that's the work of Ted Levine right there.
No.
So you follow a serial killer. Did you ever masturbate onto some decomposing corpses while eating a 6-inch Subway sandwich?
I don't remember the specifics. I know that there are things my mother probably wouldn't be proud of me doing, but the performance speaks for itself. As you said, that's what made me.
Well, I think it made your name.
It made.
And then you went, then you took that, the momentum, as you kind of used that word before, and you took it and you propelled yourself into Robin Williams' Flubber.
That was a very short couple of days of work. And actually, when we were shooting that film, we thought it was going to be something different. We thought it was a serious film about a goo that made people bounce.
I thought that, didn't Robin Williams, for that, to research that role, ride around with the serial killer? Isn't that kind of the story behind Flubber?
I think he rode around with Ted.
I had problems with Robin Williams on the set of that. We've since reconciled, but on the set, we kind of, you know, just like when you have method actors who, if their characters are opposites on screen, they tend to not be in communication behind the scenes. So I took that as my directive to, I tried to rape him.
I've always heard that the reason for your friction on set was because you were always a better stand-up comic than Mr. Williams. Is that true at all?
I always found Rob Williams to be quite entertaining.
Yeah, but I'm talking about you, though, Mr. Williams.
I was actually one of the ones who auditioned for Mork and Mindy. I did not get the part.
Really?
Newsflash.
I only had access to a time machine.
But I still have the videotape of my screen test with Pam Dauber, and I cherish it. I think I would have made for a terrific Mork.
Because then you would have gotten...
I then auditioned for the Jonathan Winters role.
Right.
I did not get that.
No, I've got one more question.
They said that I didn't have a intergalactic accent.
Mr. Levine, I personally only have one more question for
and
you.
And that aliens don't have mustaches.
Son of the free. My last question for you is, very simply, why did you do Evolution?
Evolution was a vanity project for me. It was my idea. I took it to the filmmakers. I took it to David Duchovny, and then Orlando and Jones is a peep of mine.
What about a what?
I mean, it had to kind of be a dream come true. I mean, you pitched this comedy, then Ivan Reitman, who's been responsible for some great comedies, came on board to direct.
Turned out he wasn't probably suited for it.
How so?
Are you saying, what, he wasn't the Reitman for the job?
Good Lord.
Sorry, Ted.
You know what, though? If Ted is so good at pitching films... Yeah.
I think we're kind of trying to figure out what happened with Evolution. Is this his idea?
It's got a fan base. You know, we thought we were making something bigger and more epic, and it was edited heavily.
With all due respect, it does not have a fan base, but I know of only one human being who likes the film.
Well, I like how Steve's challenging our only guest we've ever had on the show. Like, you have some, like, contentious shit with...
But look, the man yelled at me earlier.
Right. I didn't yell at you. I think you belittled my political aspirations.
It was not my intention.
Here's my question about that. Why... You said it's a vanity project... And you took the idea to the studio and all this stuff. Why cast yourself with the having a part that has three lines? I mean, that's your dream project. Or
why didn't you play the Evolution?
Did you just want to see it come to fruition because you were just very excited about the idea?
Well, it was my idea. I didn't want to star. I know that usually when I headline, I tend to get too much of the attention, and I wanted it to be an ensemble.
When you headline.
When is that?
Oh, I do a lot of off-Broadway. During my political campaign, I was doing summer stock.
Have you gone back to stand-up at all?
Have you actually headlined in those, though? I'm trying to look at a movie where you maybe starred in, because I'd like to see that.
Was he the star of Ali?
I
think not.
A very small part in Ali. Michael Mann and I sparked a very big friendship on Heat, something that will pay off massive dividends in the future.
Oh, here you go. Here, this is where you were the lead.
I see it.
The Mangler. That's it.
Interesting film to make. Very much. Well, it was during the Robert Englund era in film, so he tended to steal the spotlight.
It seems you played a cop in that as well. Now
I come off as an authority figure. If you meet me in person, you'll think, shit, the guy is a cop.
Right, but look, in The Mangler, you were charged with hunting down and prosecuting the Mangler, which turned out to be a machine. Now, you have something against machines, obviously, having been beaten by one in a political election. Did your dislike of them stem back to the Mangler?
No, the Mangler was just a paying job. And actually, I must correct you on something. I don't actually arrest and handcuff the Mangler in that film. I am devoured by it.
I stand corrected. I apologize if I confused any of our listeners.
And I learned a lot about acting that day when I was eaten by a laundry machine. Because I've worked in, you know, Shakespeare and with Michael Mann, an Oscar winner, who I've sparked a fantastic friendship with. But I was eaten by laundry.
Actually, Ted, it was a possessed machine, though. I mean, it wasn't just a laundry machine. It was a Satan machine.
Well, you know, some say tomato.
So, wait. Some say tomato, others say Satan.
Some say the Mangler.
What, you know, what one thing is to you is different to someone else. Just like, you know, the Fast and the Furious is what it really kickstarted my younger fan base. The youth of America discovered me, per se, with the Fast and the Furious. The fan mail that I've gotten since that film has been primarily young women.
Is it hard with the tabloids?
I travel under an assumed name.
I mean, is it hard that they don't cover you?
I've done a good job of keeping my skeletons in the closet so that the paparazzi don't follow me. And I do a good job of diverting people.
Did you become fast friends with Pat Swayze back when you made Next of Kin?
I had such a small part on Next of Kin. Funny story about that movie.
Apparently, there's a funny story about every film.
Well, when you work...
Sorry, I'm sorry.
When you work in this business, you see everything.
Would you mind telling us a funny story regarding Next of Kin?
90% of my Buffalo Bill character was based on Adam Baldwin.
Oh, Adam Baldwin was heavy in that film, correct?
Yeah, he was medium built.
Are you guys... Now, that guy, I like that guy in movies. Are you friends with him? You talk to him still? What's going on?
No, it's a shame because he's a B-grade actor, and we don't often get paired together now. But if he ever gets a big break, I hope to see him again.
Well, he's just in the Serenity film that was not a hit, but I wouldn't call it a B-grade film. Did you see that?
I was offered the role of... one of the villains, and I read the script, and frankly, I felt it was subpar Space Hunter crap.
Minus the Forbidden Zone.
Yes, and I didn't see a part suitable for Peter Strauss.
So what's next on the agenda? I got
The Hills Have Eyes, which is coming out this year. I'll be doing a one-man play called Levine, Las Vegas. Kind of a little bit of musical act, some comedy. And then I will tuck my cock between my legs and run out into the crowd.
Well, you do have The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. That's a Brad Pitt film.
Sam Rockwell. It's a Ted Levine film.
Well, you know, I mean... Brad Pitt.
That's also a short title.
Are you excited to be in that film? There's kind of minor buzz about that film.
I was given one command in this film. They said, lend your gravitas to this, Ted, would you?
And I also see that you were in... and I didn't know this guy. I didn't see this film. Memoirs of a Geisha.
Yes, I played a military man dealing with this, dealing with these, you know, the women of the peace. And honestly, I did it as a favor to my friend, the the lovely Zhang Ziyi, who, if I was not married, I'd probably be fucking her corpse.
So you, wait, she's not dead though, Ted. I mean, are you telling me you're going to revert back to your serial killer ways? Because I think she's a lovely broad, and I think you should let her be.
Oh, she's a fantastic actress. I really have my fingers crossed that she'll win an Oscar this year, because, you know, she's Asian.
Well, that's good.
And I believe that Asians are people, and they should be treated the same way.
Now, tell me again how you lost your mayoral election.
Well, I mean, it could have been one of many things. I think part of the problem was I came into the race late. I started campaigning 6 years before the election. I had a...
Are you even from Nebraska, Mr. Levine?
You don't have to be from Nebraska to campaign in Nebraska. You have to have a working...
It looks like it might help, though.
Working nervous system. I was beat by a man who recently got out of prison for
your films.
For setting fire to the upholstery of his mother.
Well, is that it, though? I mean, I think I'm out of questions, personally.
No, maybe we're finished this interview. Any other,
Well, I do want
to... Maybe a last story or something?
First I would like to say, and the reason I'm doing all of this publicity is for my share in this lawsuit. I really think that I need the support from the community, because Vin Diesel has very, very powerful attorneys. Rob Cohen, very powerful attorneys. And I really think that, you know, the grassroots movement understands that Fast and Furious succeeded primarily because of what I call the Levine factor.
So it's a Fast and the Furious lawsuit?
Yeah, there was $300 million that was kind of, instead of being given to myself, went directly into the pockets of the people who paid for the movie and who invested their money into it. And, well, frankly, that's not what America is about. That's not what Ted Levine is about.
Well, so you're in this lawsuit, and it's three people battling it out for the money, or, you know, and it's Vin Diesel, yourself.
Vin Diesel, who is actually a fine actor.
Okay, and who's the third party?
Rob Cohen, the
director.
The director. Yes.
Now, let me ask you, what happened to... Why isn't Paul Walker involved in the suit?
Paul Walker actually distanced himself from the Fast and Furious because he first of all, he knew that he wasn't the reason it was such a big success.
It was you, naturally.
It was me. But also, Paul Walker, I lured him to the side with a string and a ham on a string, and he followed it off into the woods.
A string and a ham. That's all it takes to lure Paul Walker.
Now, you work with him. I mean, you didn't work with him, but you'd been in a joyride with him before. Had you guys had that kind of bond?
Please understand that Joyride was I didn't exist. I came in during post-production. By then, Paul Walker had moved on.
You don't have to ask me, please. I mean, I'll understand it. You don't have to ask me nicely to understand that. But did you have that kind of bond with him anyway? I mean, that movie's pretty good. I like that film. Is it John Dahl? Who's that movie?
It was John Dahl.
Yeah.
Fabulous filmmaker. We struck a very quick friendship.
But then you didn't know Paul Walker before Fast and Furious. Is this correct?
I met Paul Walker, interesting story. Paul Walker and I are both Buddhists. And I met him at a Buddhist festival.
You don't want to get specific. It's a festival, right?
I tend to feel when major stars discuss their spirituality or political views, it tends to cheapen them.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'd want to do is put a black eye on the round yellow face of Buddhism.
Which is why...
Holy shit.
Which is why I'm very... It's why I'm glad you did not tell us what political party you ran under for your mayoral election. I'm glad you didn't tell us that, because it just wouldn't be right. So
what political party did you run under?
No, don't tell us that. I don't want to know.
I'm an independent. I feel like democracy is not for me. I think that there are certain things about... it sounds funny coming out of my mouth, but I think that... I did a lot of observation of polar bears in the wild, and I found that their habits were very conducive towards an idyllic existence. So I kind of based my political party on the way polar bears interact.
Is that for an upcoming role that you've been observing?
No, it's for political.
This is Ted Levine, the man behind the mask.
Okay.
Do you have plans in the future for a future run at the office? Do you ever think maybe a larger scope, maybe a senator?
Well, what I've been told is it's good to have a victory to parlay. But in lieu of that, yes, I do plan on taking it to a higher level. I think what I might do is wait a couple of years as my legend masses, and then do what Reagan did before me, and be the president, or maybe even the prime minister of America.
Well, look, if you are ever in need of a political advisor, you can always call me. I'll be glad to help you out. I can guarantee you will not lose to a vending machine again.
I think part of the reason I lost was my running mate.
Who would that have been?
Well, I had to fire my first one halfway through. It was Brian Dennehy.
Wait, did you fire him or did he die?
I fired him.
Okay, good.
I think Brian Dennehy's still...
He is. He was in Assault in Precinct 13.
He died in Tommy Boy. Another film with political side effects. No, I actually ran... my running mate was... And I didn't know this at the time, but my running mate was number two on the most wanted list. He is the arson rapist.
the arson rapist.
Did this come out before or after the election?
Oh, this came out actually after I lost.
So that might not have been the reason you lost.
It's bad luck.
Did you go to any debates?
I went to 6 debates. They were held at Ted Levine's house.
Let me rephrase the question. Did you participate in any debates?
I did. Myself right. And... the vending machine had a moment.
But of course the machine is going to get more votes because it keeps giving out bags of chips. What did you have for the people?
I dispensed advice, and I dispensed goodwill.
Hope.
All he dispensed was fandom.
That was a link. You can't be the savior when I'm in need. Always there to catch when I feel unseen. But how can I grow with your safety net beneath me? How can I feel the cold heart ground and bleed? It's hard to say no when you're facing me. I need to stand uninhibited. Let me enjoy a little perfect misery. Sign that I am drenched in need. I love you beyond words, and it's from the heart when I say.
say no when your face says